Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? You know what? Today is the most beautiful day that I have had in a very long time, and I'll tell you why. Because today was the day that literally my mind constantly stayed on God. I mean, I visited God, hung out with God, talked about God, and enjoyed God. And in that, he explained to me something that is so important for all of us to know, that coincides with what I spoke about yesterday, that has to do with being blessed. And according to what I see, this is going to be a four-part series that has literally to do with us getting out of the state of mind that has to do with poverty. Allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I love you. I'm overjoyed with the things that you do. I am so indebted to you, Heavenly Father, as I am indebted to the people who is around us. I am just lost for words, Father God, because you do so much to show us how much we can do, part of you, and that in what we could do, we don't ever have to be poor doing it, because you literally want to bless us abundantly so that we can do so much more. I want to thank you for our families. I want to thank you for our friends, and especially thank you for our enemies. Because our family is our family. We cannot change that. Our friends can become family, and our friends can follow right behind, if not before, our family and our friends. I want to thank you because the kind of love that you give can cause enemies to become family. I love you for that, Heavenly Father, because that shows that there's not one person we ever have to hate, because love covers a multitude of sin. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I spoke literally about enemies because a lot of times, the enemy that we are engaging with could be our own selves. Yes. Unfortunately, we can be sleeping with the enemy and it be nobody in your bed besides our own selves. Literally, I come to understand that the reality of dealing with this world down here below heaven is full of people who are following people who literally don't understand that your best enemy is you following people as opposed to following God. And when you follow people, even your most wonderful intentions fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you call yourself doing if you're not walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. If we are not walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, we are literally so far away from God until, unfortunately, we are our own worst enemy. And I want to make it certain that we understand that the devil does not have to bother people who are already acting in the phase of being an enemy to God. There's no way in the world he's going to bother you. And the reason why, because you're already doing what you're supposed to be doing that gives him the glory. Now, when we come to a point of our lives that we simply say that we want to give God the glory and we back it up, then we're moving out of the shadow of being an enemy to God. I have seen, and I got to be honest with you, I have gone to churches, talked to spiritual leaders of all levels, and asked them what truly is the actual act of being one who loved thy neighbor as you would want to be loved. Truly, what is the true act of loving your neighbor as you would want to be loved? God's definition of us loving each other is wanting the very best for another just as we would want for ourselves. And when we do not allow ourselves to give that which we would want for ourselves to yet another person, we become the enemy. I want to take you with me to, thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I want to take you with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And we're going to go to, let's do Matthew 25, starting at 41, if I'm correct. I might be wrong, but let's see. Let's take a look at what God would have us to look at. Thank you, Father God. Matthew 25, starting at 41. Then he will say to, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. You know the part that sticks in my spirit? It's this one here. Thank you, Father God. 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed. Thank you, Jesus. You cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I remember a man telling a woman that he beat so badly until literally the doctors didn't know where the blood was coming from because there were so many locations. I'm being honest with her. When she got home weeks later, I love you. Now, when he became a Christian and when he had stopped drinking, he come to find out that God's way of loving him open up a whole new avenue of love that enabled him to tell the same woman that he beat on that, I hated you with all of who I am. He said, not that was my intention, You see, my intention was to love you, and I was so jealous because of having somebody like you and being so insecure until I did everything to stop you, until literally what I thought was love actually was the worst hate in which I could have ever actually felt. I'm telling you the truth. This is what this man said. Now, when we look around the people who is sleeping on the ground, the people who are hungry, the people who are going through trials and tribulation, upside down situations, when we look around, it is as much as beaten on them as it is, as that man did to that woman. Because when we, see, this is what Jesus is talking about. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was homeless, you didn't take me in. I was sick and I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. It is as bad as you having to beat on a person whom you say you love, because literally the person in whom is laying on the ground, hungry, naked, thirsty, homeless, sick, in prison, is somebody that gives you the opportunity, Jesus, that you love them. See, this man, he was given the opportunity to tell the woman that I love you. It took many years to get to that point. But he was given the opportunity to actually express Christian loving. They became very good friends. She forgave him for what he did. And he felt a sigh of relief, knowing that she forgave him and that they could become friends. We have many enemies that surround us, unfortunately, because of the fact that we don't understand that us having a poverty state of mind, so that we don't have anything to give to somebody. You see, this is what happened with this man. He beat on this woman consistently because he felt as though that he had nothing to give her. So if I beat on you, then you may have enough fear to never want to leave me. As sick as that may sound to you, that was his sense of reasoning. What is our sense of reasoning that has to do with leaving somebody on the ground? What are we telling God when we allow poverty to beat on somebody, when we allow mental conditions to beat on somebody? What are we telling God when we allow the devil to have his way with somebody come family who could be family? What are we actually telling God? But then that's not even the most pertinent question. What are we telling ourselves? What are we telling ourselves? I remember being on the ground. I remember being homeless. I remember being thirsty, hungry. I remember when my clothes didn't smell too good. I remember not being in prison, but being imprisoned within myself. I remember being thirsty, and I remember nobody being there to provide. Yet I also remember when somebody was there who took me in, who cared for me, who clothed me, who loved me, who left me into their home when they went to work. Yes, I remember that. And I know the difference between the love that was given to me and the love that we forsake people with. So when I see so many people living in poverty, I understand that the reality of such is because of the fact that we haven't allowed ourselves to look at God's goodness. What I mean by that is this. Father God, thank you. God is the richest of all. He will supply our needs according to his riches and glory. Now understand, please, what that means. He will give you everything that you need so that you can take care of the needs of everybody he put you in pathway with. But because of the fact that we have a tendency of thinking only of ourselves, come individuals who literally, and I say this sadly, only go as far as GR, SSI. Because unfortunately, God said that's as far as you're going to get. You don't need no more than that. Because you're only considering your situation. You're not thinking of anything that has to do with who I am. And if you did, even in your worst situation, you would know that you're connected to a God who is highly rich, who will bless you beyond measure, just because while you're in that situation, you come to a point of realizing that there's somebody who's in a worse situation than you. And you took whatever you was able to give, if it was nothing but time, and sat down with that person who may be sleeping in the street, and simply said, I don't have much, but I do have a sheet. That's all I have on my bed, but it's yours. Please give me time. I'm going to get it. Because I thank God for what I do have that I can render unto you. I thank God for my having the ability to know that he will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. And if he doesn't give me anything at all, the one thing I know that he did is gave me things that covered all of what I needed at that specific, if it was nothing else other than to be able to breathe, so I can say, my time is coming. Because the reality of faith is having the ability to say, it's going to be okay today. Let's go to James, the book of James. I think we're going to be into this about maybe four segments. The reason why is because of the fact that God is saying we need to stop acting so foolish. And we need to stop allowing ourselves to act as though we are poor. Because poor people only become people who become like that of peasants. But even economically disadvantaged individuals can be rich, knowing they got a Christ that provided them life. I have seen poor people be so poor until you would wonder why would they open their door for yet another person. And they might not have had anything other than bread and potato soup. But they was willing to share that because they thanked God for the bread and the potato. I am joyed in the reality of what God does with people who understand that He will supply their need. Because that's when you know when people are truly in faith. Allow me to explain. Go to your Bibles to James 1 and 22. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. 1 and 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You see, I said that you can be sleeping with the enemy and not really know that that's what you do. You could be allowing yourself to be a part of something that is beyond riches. And the only thing that you have to do is realize that you're connected to the riches of God. And God will bless you beyond what you can ever imagine. And I'm not just talking about monetary value, because that's small in compared to God. But having the ability to know that if you have just the simplicity of things in life, food, clothing, the roof over your head, and some water, those four major things in which we all desire to have, that if you had a peanut butter sandwich, and that was it, not even water, and you saw a hungry person that you cut that in half, it reveals to God that you know and you believe in the word, and you will do that which will show that you have faith in Him to supply your need. Check this out. Let's go to Romans. Thank you, Father God. Let's go to Romans 2 and 13. If I'm correct. Yes, thank you, Father God. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. But the hearers. Just because you got the word, don't mean nothing. Jesus gave an example. If you bypass the people, if you just didn't do anything, if you just simply just did nothing, then the only thing you are about is a person who is living in poverty. You're your worst enemy, and you don't have to worry about Satan doing anything to you, because literally everything that has to do with what he is about, which is selfishness, you're already doing it for him. And he's very pleased with that because of the fact that he knows where you're going. Where you're going when you are about God. When you're fulfilling that which is of God. You don't have much. Things is not particularly even looking up. But because of your faith in God, check out what happens. Matthew 25. Let's start at 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Let's go up to 35, okay? My apology. For I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now 36. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Let's go down to 40. And the king will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." What is the reality of to love God with all of who you are and to love your neighbor as you will want to be loved? Two laws, two commandments, that's it, which covers the ten. Two covers the ten. When you allow yourself to really love God with all of who you are, it means that even though you don't have much, you know God will supply your needs. You know that it's going to be okay. Now, you have to understand your needs. He will supply your need. So if you gave that half of a peanut butter sandwich to somebody, and you didn't get none for a few hours or a few days, you still know that you'll be okay. You still understand that He is a God who's capable. And you stand firm on that reality because you believe that He will supply your needs in every shape, fashion, or form. And it doesn't have to happen as you physically is in need of whatever it may be. I ask you, are you your worst enemy? See, because when you cheat or call yourself cheating God by not paying your tithes, your offerings, passing people by, not loving people as you would want to be loved, you're not hurting the church, your family, your community. You're not hurting them. You're hurting you. See, because when it's time for Jesus to come yet the second time, He's coming for the church. Coming for the church, you will stand on the line of judgment. And He will ask you, "What have you done for me while you were down there claiming to love me? What have you done to let my Father know that you represented me on a level that says that you actually was walking in my footsteps, so that somebody could look and say, I felt the love of Jesus today? What have you done to help somebody and to love them as you would want to be loved?" Tomorrow is, if He so allow, yet another segment to come. God bless y'all. I love y'all.